Hi, and welcome to Journeyers Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Clark, and I'll bring you guests who have stories and tools to share with you discussing resilience, authenticity, and the freedom that those things brought them. Let's get started. Hi, guys. I have Bree Luganville here with me today. Bree is just an amazing soul. She works primarily in self-compassion and coaching in that realm. She's a speaker, and she's just a leader for positive change. And she is recently on her journey started working within the system as well as with out of the system with her coaching. So I'll let her talk to you a little bit about that. But I just wanted to take a brief second and introduce her. We will give you all the ways for you to connect with her later on. But Bree, how are you today?
I'm doing great. And thank you so much, Susan, for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on here. And so guys, for some backstory here, Bree invited me on her podcast. I had actually the pleasure and just, I'm so grateful for the experience. I got to be on her podcast twice, which is kind of amazing. And by kind of, I mean totally amazing. And I'm just really excited to have her on here and for you guys to get to know her and hear her voice and what just the cool work that she does. So, Bree, you know, we talk about resilience and authenticity a lot. That's, as you know, kind of my jam. And obviously self-compassion and change are huge parts of that. So I would love to just hear you talk on that a little bit.
Definitely. So I find that in moments that we are going through any type of personal growth, or even if we're going through some crazy stuff externally, that, you know, we weren't planning on, but the journey took us there. compassion from others as well as yourself is the tool that can really help harvest growth that's going to continue and to be in alignment with who you are and who you're growing to be, as well as be that safety and that comfort. Because without compassion and without treating yourself like you would a good friend, it's a really scary time, right? Because change is really hard, even if it's small change. Like, I do think sometimes we as humans, we're creatures of habit and we like our routines. We also really like spontaneity sometimes, but I think we come back to that. We really need some consistency and some routine. And so when things are changing in any avenue of life, it can be really uncomfortable. experience too. And so having that compassion from yourself to be like, hey, it's uncomfortable. It's hard right now, but it's okay. Like, it's not a wrong thing to feel uncomfortable. And it's also good to reach out to the types of people that are going to be right for you to go to and get that same compassion. Because sometimes the people that we have reached out to before, it might just be not in their season of life to be able to be that support anymore. Or you might be in a different type of journey yourself that they don't understand. And so finding those people that do are great. Let's see here. I can always share like a personal journey story as well. Would you like?
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Sure. So, I mean, just in this past year, I would say in 2018 in September, I went through some crazy medical stuff. I was in incredible amounts of pain. And I was having like UTIs every month. And so it was very difficult because I would go and get my antibiotics, but the next month it would like still be there. And I was like, wow, what is going on? And then I would also just be in tremendous amounts of pain that didn't quite seem like it might have been from the UTI. It seemed more like musculoskeletal, but I had no clue. Mm.
And so, which is interesting because UTIs are so incredibly painful on their own. So to have any other pain on top of or alongside that.
It is crazy. And I feel like because you've gone through different things in your own journey with like just chronic pain, I feel like because we've gone through so much sometimes, it has to hit like a really crazy pain level for us to take notice. We're so used to just being like, oh, this is just kind of like my normal. And now when it does hit that level, it's way more than people think, but it's hard to communicate quite that type of thing. And so anyway, it landed me into like the urologist and they were like, okay, we want to do an exploratory, not exploratory procedure, but a procedure where they go in and they look around the kidney just to see if there's anything in there. Like why are there so many UTIs? What keeps causing them? Are there stones, X, Y, Z? And so when they ran the CT scans first before doing that scope, they found, I remember calling for my test results and I'm like, so like how many stones are in there? I'm sure there's some. And they're like, we actually can't give you a count. There's innumerable amounts. And I'm laughing because I'm like, of course, I'm an all in person and that's my body. My body's like, I want the most stones. I'm going to get an A+.
Overachiever across the board.
And one stone, which is still in there, is actually a half an inch. And so,
wow.
Like, oh my gosh. And so then I think that was back in December. And so we had to wait until January just because, you know, doctor's offices are busy. You want to get the best specialist and surgeon to go in there. And so we had to wait like about a month, but that was like, it's like, once you know what's going on, I feel like sometimes the pain can get even worse and cause maybe it's like the anti-placebo effect.
Right. I like that term.
And so then it was really hard. It was hard to just sit there and have to wait because I have a 2-year-old. I don't want, and I was his primary caregiver. I don't want to go on narcotics when I'm with him because to me that just doesn't, you know, that doesn't work. But I remember calling the doctor's offices and being like, what do I do? Like, I have to take care of my 2-year-old, but I'm in so much pain. And they're like, one of the nurses was like, just take the narcotics. And I'm like, ugh, no, like, I don't want to do that. And so I would take something at night. Because you know, I'm sleeping and it's going to wear off by the beginning of the day. But then it was like, just like ibuprofen during the day. And, it was very hard for anyone out there who's gone through stuff like this. Like, I don't know. Some days I just was in bed crying all day and other days, like when it was better, I was trying to, just get out there and do stuff, but it was hard when you're just in that waiting game. And so that's kind of where the systems come in. Like, I totally understand that with medical care, there's a wait list and everything, but I do think that there needs to be better work for chronic conditions. I do not think people understand the level of pain that people go through. And there's not really a good system for that waiting period. What do I do? Like there's no. And so that was hard. I remember reaching out to Nicolette Driggs, and she gave me like this, like, I know you don't want to take all these things, but you need to do a pain management system. So then it gets like within your system and it's better. So that's where I was like, fine, I'll take that and then I'll take the ibuprofen and Tylenol throughout the day and just like keep going. So things are built in the system and I'm not going to just be a blob, but I'll be able to take care of my kid. And then I also asked for help. Like, I know I wanted to always be there for him, but when mommy literally can't do much, you really need to have other people help. So neighbors, I had 2 neighbors that were homeschoolers, and so they helped take care of him sometimes. And again, reaching out, I feel like I even reached out to you, Susan, and just like, always reaching out to the people that have chronic stuff. So you get your community, and that's the second component to self-compassion is common humanity. You're not alone, but to make sure that you feel not alone, you need to sometimes do the work to reach out. People will reach out to you, but they don't know if you need that, if you don't say something. And it's hard because we want to do everything ourselves, but we're meant to live in community and we're meant to share in both our struggles and our strengths. So that was huge, huge, really humbling lesson for me because, again, overachiever, perfectionist, I can do it all, and bam, slapped with all this pain and this thing, can't do it all.
Can I speak to something, a couple things you said there? Okay, so first of all, to go way back into what you were saying, I think something that is really hard for or can be really hard for people to recognize is that when you are in pain, in chronic pain, or even in acute pain for say an extended, for say a few days, right? But when you're in that, but especially with chronic pain, it is so physically exhausting, and mentally exhausting. And so just, I love that, and you got there and you talked about it, right? Like you found your people, like you have to find that support. And to your next point, it is really hard to ask. So yes, it is on us in our, you know, in that moment. And when I use collective us, right? Like if you're struggling with something, yeah, it is hard to ask for help sometimes. You've got to do it. But the other piece of this is like, show up for your people. Like, a lot of people, especially that are wired like Bree or like myself, like that, I'm so independent and I can do this myself and just let me take care of it. Sometimes it's hard for you guys, and by you guys, I mean people around us that love us and care about us, to see that we're there in that space. And sometimes it's hard for us to ask for help, but we'll do our part by trying to ask, but we need you to do your part by sometimes just stepping in and saying, and you know, just, oh man, even if it's something so silly or what seems so little to you, step in, show up for your people. Okay. Carry on, Brie. I'm sorry.
I agree with that 100%. And something I also want to add is, I just got back from Deciphering Beck with Wiedemann Syndrome conference, which is the syndrome I have, which is one of the reasons why I have so many stones. But I was talking to people there, and we were relating on finding those people. If you talk to someone and you're telling them about this, and you're not even really complaining, you're just like, people ask, how are you? You're going to be honest instead of being fine. And people go, oh yeah, well, you can go to the doctor and it'll be okay. Or they deflect it almost. They kind of deflect your struggle or your pain because it's those aren't your people in that season. And that's okay. Like, it's nothing on them. It's just, if people are deflecting what you are trying to get comfort in, that means that they're not able to give in that way right now. We don't know what's going on in their life. And they are to a point where that to them is just so triggering, they can't even give comfort. So,
that's important.
And it's sad, but it's like, I used to get upset if people would do that, but then I'm like, you know what? I got to think about them as well. And it's okay. They're just not my people right now in this season for talking about my stuff in that way. And I don't know what they're going through anyway.
That's really important, right? Like acknowledging where other people are in their journey. And, it's not always about you. Like it could be very much that whatever you said was triggering for them, not because of you, but because of something they're going through. They put that wall up because maybe they're in pain. They put that wall up because they just have no flipping idea what you're talking about. And they don't handle things that they don't know, or they're scared, right? Like, they can't fix it and that scares them. And so they're like, oh, exactly. I'll go get it fixed.
Yeah. And right? putting up their own boundary, like by cutting off the conversation in that way. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. There, people can have boundaries just like us, even though I want everyone to just be fine with me oversharing. But and then I'll kind of go around to the first component of self-compassion too, because I went on a huge tangent with my journey. But the first component is that self-kindness, like treating yourself like you would a good friend. So if a friend is going through some suffering, what would you say to them? And then you need to say that same thing to yourself, but actually accept your own love and own compassion, which is very hard, very hard. And then, like I said earlier, the second component is common humanity. So knowing you're not alone, listening to podcasts like these, that you know, okay, I have chronic issues. These people here also have chronic conditions. I can listen to this and resonate, and I know I'm not alone. And then number three is mindfulness. And that kind of is the secret sauce to everything. It's doing some sort of mindfulness exercise in your daily life where the tool is self-compassion. So you constantly get that love and affirmation from yourself daily. Whether it's a journal, whether it's a audio meditation, whether it is so many different types of things depending on your learning style. So that's kind of what I do with my one-on-one clients is we meet like once a month, we talk about things and they process, and then we go, okay, what would be best for your mindfulness exercise to be focused on right now? And let's explore your learning style so we can create that personalized routine for you to put into your life. That's like my whole jam that I love to do.
Yeah. So side note and plug for Bree, because this is what she does and she does it so well. But your audio meditations, Bree, your personalized audio meditations were a total lifeline to me. She does this incredible way of hearing what you're saying, even if it's not what you're saying, and speaking to that in just really powerful ways. So for me, verbal audio learning is kind of my thing. And so we went that route when I was working with her, and that was huge. But those audio meditations, and I'm sure everything else she does is equally powerful. So whatever it is that she will meet you there. But yeah, I just wanted to say on a personal level that was, those audio meditations were not just life-saving, but really like game-changing, right? Like to sit in that and have a really specific or guided
Thank
way
you.
Of
I'm
doing
so
that.
Glad that they were so helpful. And I will say the audio meditations are probably the most popular. They're just easy to put into your day. And like, there's something therapeutic about listening to someone else's voice tell you what you need to hear. And just those affirmations. I've even used different coaches myself to have them create like meditations for my own self, because I'm not going to listen to my voice tell me to be calm or tell me that I'm good enough, because I do my own thing. But if someone else tells me, then I don't know what it is. It's just the power in that community, and that someone else is validating what you really need to remember about who you are and what you need. So I'm really glad that I got to do that a few months for you. And I get really happy when people, I call it like when people graduate, just because it means that you've learned that like skill. Your brain has been like trained now, and your heart has been trained, and they're connected. And now you can do that for yourself without needing that extra little push. And so, yeah, I've had, I think, a few people graduate recently, and I'm like, oh, so glad. You're happy. Of course, you know, yeah, I always want everyone to save me forever, but that's not growth. That would be, that's not the point of what I do in growth in general. Anyway, so yeah, I highly recommend, also if you want to read a resource from the psychologist that coined the term self-compassion and did research studies, Kristen Neff is her name, N-E-F-F. And she actually does have some TED Talks out there that talk about self-compassion, and a book called The Proven Power to Being of Being Kind to Yourself. And it just, it really changed my whole world. I think it's really good for people that are high achievers, perfectionists, just like go-getters, as well as anyone who suffers from chronic pain or some sort of chronic medical diagnosis. So yeah, it's just a really good thing. And I will not stop talking about it.
So you were talking about the importance, right, of working within the system as well as outside of the system, right? Like, can you dig in on that a little bit?
So working with outside of the system to me is that relational aspect within your community or within your family or within your friend group. And I do think having one-on-one relationships with people, whether they be at a professional level, like coaching, or just at, again, family, friends, community, it really helps to facilitate personal growth and change on a level that could impact someone longer than you even think. So whether you're a mentor or even just that friend that you've had since whatever grade, or that new friend that comes into your life, any type of conversation you have, any type of motivation or encouragement that you give, I do think it goes a lot longer to their growth and development than we think, or even than we might even see. That conversation you had or that affirmation you gave them in the moment, they could be holding that with them, and that could push them to the next version of themselves, or give them that encouragement to take a risk and try something new and exciting, or affirm what they know has always been true about themselves, but they just haven't been able to articulate themselves. And I know that you do that a lot in your own work too, and this in your own just way of living. I know we've had so many conversations about that. And so that's like the one-on-one outside of the system. But then systems are kind of what control society, right? I don't like to admit that, but like, not always, but I mean, we have to have laws, and we have to have a government right now, and we have to have just different ways of having systems that make a society function, just because that's how we've learned makes an overall society function. And working within that as well as outside of that, I think really breeds sustainable change. Because if you can get within a system, whether it be government or whether it be healthcare or politics, and you can really see all the dynamics there, as well as take what people experience outside of that system and kind of bridge those two gaps and try to promote positive change, you might be able to get some policies passed, whether within a work environment or whether within politics. I'll tell a quick story about what my mom did when I was younger, which I just learned this weekend. Apparently, because of my diagnosis back in the day, I was not going to be covered under my father's health insurance. And I had a syndrome that could get, unfortunately have the risk of having childhood cancer. And so when they saw that, insurance company was like, nope, like, we're not going to do this. And so we don't know what your syndrome is. we don't understand it. It's not been documented very well. No. And my mom was like, fought with, like, she went to the local representative and talked about it, and it took a year. So I was not on insurance for about a year. I think it was three, but eventually it got changed, and then I got to be back on the insurance. And so, that to me is, wow, you know, her bringing her personal experience to a system, talking about it, persevering, because a year until it gets changed is actually fairly fast, from an individual perspective, and like even just politics, yeah, in general. But you know, it's so hard. Like, we're given this life, and things happen, and you never know. But persevering through and continuing to be that, my mom, to be that feisty spirit, to keep going and to be like, no, I shouldn't be not denied this. I'm going to keep, this is something that needs to be fixed. It doesn't just help us in the short term, but it set me up as an adult to not be denied any type of health insurance. And it'll set future generations of children that come after me to not be denied that as well. And it's hard to think of that when you're in it from that type of level. But, and sometimes you don't need to fight. Like, when I was really in pain, I didn't need to worry about that. I needed to think about myself. But right now I'm out of that portion. And so I'm excited to kind of go back into the system to do things. Now, right now, mine is, I'm telling this amazing, valiant story of my mom, and mine is just going to be going into like the Kent County Sheriff's Office. And I'm going to just make some, like, looking at their databases and like making things more organized and seeing what's going on there. And that's like the first part of what I'm going to do. But then they are very big into community engagement. They have a whole department about that. And so all my experience in coaching, as well as Better Body Image Conference, I'll be able to maybe be like, hey, there's all these different entrepreneurs I've been connecting with. let's do something. Let's like make something amazing. I don't know. And so, those are just the different things of being working within a system and outside the system as well. And knowing that sometimes there's a season for everything. Maybe I'll work more in the system for a while, since it is a full-time job, and I'll have like only a few one-on-one clients, which is what I'm going towards. But the work is never done, and the positive change is never ending in like a way that is a good thing. It's not supposed to make me feel overwhelming, like, oh, it's never ending. It should never be ending, because it's exciting to continue to contribute to society. And man, it's just like what we can do for people now to make life better for them, and then what we can think that will happen and impact the generations to come. Off my soapbox.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. No. Yeah. Okay. So your mom is, just obviously an amazing human, right? Like, but also I think it speaks to that warrior mama thing that we do. When, when somebody messes with you, that's one thing. But when somebody starts messing with your kids, that is a whole new level of game on. And, but that is like in that moment, I don't know, I can't pretend to be in your mom's head, you know, in that moment though, you know, that fight was about you. But that brought all of the things that you just talked about, right? Like thought about, brought about change that impacted you moving forward and in that moment, but also impacts all these people that come after you. But I would say the same of what you're doing, the work that you're doing in the sheriff's department. Like, there are some really, there are years and traditions and legacies and history that you are that you're going in there to go like, hey, so maybe we need to look at this a little differently. Maybe here are some ways we can do that. And first of all, that sounds exhausting just thinking about it. So hats off to you for even stepping into that arena. But more so, like, the perspective that you have going in, that it is, maybe it's for a season, maybe it's for a longer term, but either way, what you're doing, you know, it's not going to fix things overnight, but that doesn't mean it's not fixing things or changing things, taking those steps. And those things, the things that we look at as normal, right? sorry, I'm going to go on my soapbox. I was having a conversation with my 8-year-old daughter about, you know, I don't know, basic human rights, equality, all of these things. Social justice is like her, I think she was born innately with this like incredible passion for social justice. But we were talking, and I know I've mentioned it to her before, but it came up that like women didn't always have the right to vote in this country. And we were walking down, she just stopped and looked at me. She goes, "What?" Like, she's like, "That's just ridiculous." And I was like, "I know." Her response was like, okay, I'm glad that we do now, but how did we get there? Right. And I'm like, well, people fought for that, right? Like, people literally died fighting for the right to be heard. And, you know, and we went through the whole, you know, a whole litany of things, right? Like, being in relationship with somebody who's not the same as you racially or culturally, right? Like, that was a problem, and it still is in a lot of places. And even though now maybe we have laws that protect, that doesn't mean that all the people have caught up to those laws. And, you know, and onto any of those issues, right? Like LGBTQ plus community issues and all of these things. And she's just standing there like, wait, so people didn't have, like, that wasn't a thing? Like, you couldn't marry whoever you wanted to marry? Like, she's like, that just doesn't make sense. She's like, right, I know, and that's what I said. I'm like, no, we're talking real recent history here. I'm like, I don't know if it even counts as history yet, or it's so recent, you know? And her response is just, okay, first of all, that's stupid, because everybody is just human and equal. Like, we're all just equal. We're all just people. Like, why does any of that matter? Because at the end of the day, we're just people. So like, everybody just gets those rights. Like, that's just how it should be. And that, and I was like, wow, that just sums it up right there, doesn't it? Like, but for her kids, right? Like, some of these rights that even she takes for granted, that maybe I don't, because I saw some of those changes, or my parents saw some of those changes. You know, it's part, and the other side of that is true too, right? Like, if you've lived in this system where that was never okay, you just accept that it's not okay. So when you live in a system that says this is okay or that isn't okay, you accept that and you pass those ideas on to the next generation. So those changes that you are a part of there do matter, because even if they aren't 100%. The ending step.
And that's an incredible conversation in that direction. You had with your daughter. How old is she?
Yeah, she's eight. She's 8 going on 30. I don't know.
Yeah, she's going to be a president.
She, like, I'm in awe of her, like, every day. Yes. Yes. So she will petition to get the age lowered, and then she will become president.
Yeah. And it can be, I feel like it can be so hard, like, when we're in our own journey and we're suffering or we're going through some sort of injustice, to see the whole picture. And as in, not the whole picture is in, oh, you're okay, you need to relax. No, the whole picture is in how other people might be going through the same thing and how our voice does matter. Like if we say something, or if we petition, or if we write a letter, call some a representative, like that's going to add to the list of however many other people are doing that same thing, and enough voices can cause change. And so, and then on a different level, I'm thinking of like medical research, just with all the different types of syndromes that might be out there, the rare diseases that we don't know enough about. There was nothing really out there when I was born. And now it's actually changing from a syndrome to a spectrum, which is cool and interesting. It's all just physical attributes, kind of like behavioral, but they're changing it to that just because there's just such a wide array of the type there and like all the different types of things. But there's not enough research right now about adults who have it. Like what happens when the children now grow up to be adults? Are they going to face chronic health issues? Are they going to have more like mental health issues because of what they have? And that's what the people are asking now. And why I'm talking about it is just because I just went to the conference, so I'm like all hyped up, but you can make a difference now. So I decided to sign up to participate in like a genetic study, just so people can know, because like if you can help children now, or even like teens now, kind of know a little bit what to expect, and it might not be the same for them, but if they can expect something that change, or just know what could happen, that change might not be so alarming to them, and it might help to comfort, right? That compassion, but on a whole like medical realms.
Well, the unknown is terrifying, right? Like, or can be. Like some people are like, ooh, I love not knowing what's happening, but a majority of us are not wired that way. Like, and unknown is really scary, but knowing what it is that you're up against, or that you're coming toward, good or bad, changes you handle it and how you,
I don't know, like after it. I gave my talk there, I had like all these different Instagram messages from different moms that have kids with this, like asking some questions or also saying thank you. And I'm like, oh, this is like right where I'm supposed to be. Like, so excited to just be a part. And then also from my own healing perspective, I got to meet adults with my syndrome that are my age. And I never ever met a single person until last weekend that had. And so it's, and so I'm like, now I've got some friends for life. And it's like
chills, powerful. Hey,
my street has like, I'm just being silly, but I'm like, my street has a house for sale. I'm like, anyone want to come be my neighbor? Like, each like subset of a community can be. I mean, I have people like in the entrepreneur community that really helped me. I have people, and now this like with Vitamin Spectrum community, I have coaches, you know, and some of those intersect. Some of us have multiple different things we can relate upon. And it's just this whole incredible thing of the human nature and just, I don't even know where I'm going, but I'm just.
That's what we do, right? Like we're just traveling along. We're journeying. We're not, and we're creating that for ourselves, or we have the opportunity to create that for ourselves. Not just follow like this path that was laid out before us, but to create our own and to bring others along with us. Like that's beautiful when we have that opportunity to have that shared experience with someone, and different levels, right? Like when it's that person, like you said, these people that you meet that you're like, oh my gosh, me too. Like I get that, and not me too in the Me Too movement way, but me too in the like same, like that was my experience also. And wow, you understand, like you were there last week and I'm there this week and we both get it. And that's amazing. Yeah. So I like to think of perfection, right? as appearing really in glimpses. Because I'm not sure that we're really wired to handle perfection in its fullness. But I do think that we get these beautiful glimpses. And like that moment of being there at this conference, speaking and getting this feedback, like to me, it feels like, and I don't want to, and feel free to say no if this isn't it, but that feels to me a little bit like one of those moments for you of like this glimpse of perfection.
And I remember coming home.
A little bit of perfect.
And all the conferences that I go to, no matter what they've been in the past, you kind of are always on this high and then you get to a low. I didn't really get that low. I more got like, I miss them and I want to take them with me, but I actually felt so much more supported and just like, I'm not alone. And always now there's that online communities that you can be a part of, so I can still talk with them. But it was a whole different thing. And I feel like it put me on a new part of my journey, and it's just incredible. It's going to be a really exciting time to just continue to connect with these families and adults. And I met my little, she's going to be my niece. I'm adopting her as my niece, but she has my type of syndrome. And like, I was like, and her, she's 7 months old, and her mom is just so sweet. And her family was there as well. And she just kept looking at me, and her name's Penelope, and being like, oh my God, you guys look so much like twins. And I'm like, yep. And that we're like comparing our faces and just like mannerisms even. And I'm like, oh, I can now be there for this baby when she starts growing up and is like, okay, like what did you do X, Y, and Z, or did this happen? And she's going to have her own unique journey and her own things that are different from me too. But it's really just interesting seeing like the facial, like how it looks so similar. And like, I have one ear that's bigger than the other, and I've never seen in Beck with Wiedemann syndrome that, and she has that same thing, like the baby. And so we were like showing the geneticist, but like, look, it's a thing. Like, anyway, so geeking out. But
no, yeah,
and I can sum it
that's
up like
really cool. Just, like, that's really amazing to just, have
again, reminding about the three components of self-compassion and why it's so important to me that everyone practice self-compassion. But the first component is self-kindness. So treating yourself like you would a good friend.
Yeah.
Both when you're going through a hardship, but also when you're going through like a celebration. We do not celebrate enough. What would you say to someone who just received like a scholarship, a new job, a great like award, or even just like, hey, I just finished mowing the lawn. I feel really happy about myself.
I think like a meal. Probably like, I more gold stars for adulting.
Anyway, so self-kindness. And then number two is common humanity. So knowing that you're not alone, and in all areas and facets of who you are, you can find someone that might have gone through a similar journey, might be on a different part of that journey, but you can talk with them and you can relate with them. And then number three is mindfulness. So taking those two first components, and then also putting them into some sort of mindfulness exercise. So what is it this month that you need to focus on and hear? What do you need to be affirmed on? What do you need to be encouraged on? And then doing that within something that you will actually do that day for only 5 minutes. So journaling, reading, writing, that's journaling, and audio meditations, hands-on experiences, whatever you need to do for that. So self-compassion has changed me to be able to live more in the present, still look forward and plan for the future, but not do it in a neurotic way like I used to. And also just feel more accepting of who I am and where I am. So I highly encourage everyone to practice that daily.
That's awesome. I love that, Bree. I'm going to wrap this up on that end, or on that note. But before I do that, I need you to, we will obviously share this, on you know, the page and on the website and all the places.
Sure,
but just verbally, can you give people a couple ways to connect with you?
My handle, both of those places, is Compassionately Brie, all lowercase, all together. And then also I have a website, BrieLuganville.com. And actually, if you go to BrieLuganville.com/self-confidence-meditation, you can get a free meditation that talks about overcoming your self-doubt and just like focusing on your core characteristics to just feel more confident in where you are and who you are. So again, BrieLuganville.com/self-confidence-meditation. And I think that's, you can always email me too at BrieLuganville@gmail.com. I always love answering any questions, providing encouragement.
Ooh. Awesome. Well, okay. So I will say one thing. Brie's name is B-R-I. And this is very confusing because apparently there are a lot of Brie's in my life. All of those are B-R-I, Brie. And you should follow her because even if, and I mean, you should just take advantage of her coaching services because they will just be life-changing for you. But also, even if you don't, her content, guys, like, she just brings it. She just, so often she posts things that I'm like, oh my gosh, how did you know that was where I was today? She's so real. She's so authentic. Like, you should definitely follow her and just check out what she has to say. And I'd love to hear from you after you connect with her. All right, guys, I hope you have an awesome day and awesome week, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of Journeyers Podcast. To connect with me, your host, Susan Clark, check me out on Insta at HT Performance LLC. Email me at susan.clark@healthtrainingperformance.com, or just check out my website, healthtrainingperformance.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear about anybody you know who has an amazing story of resilience and authenticity. Have a great day.